views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hi, everybody. This is Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience some groundbreaking ways to transform your company's culture. Twice each month, we have some of the foremost experts on organizational culture and leadership, helping you understand how to make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. Today, I'm really excited to have Jocelyn Davis with us. Jocelyn is the author of a new book called The Greats on Leadership. She's written other books as well, which we'll hear about. And she's going to help us learn, take a really different lens and perspective on leadership, what's needed in leadership today, and how we can really learn from some of the greats throughout history. Let me introduce Jocelyn. Jocelyn Davis is an author of business books and a consultant with 25 years experience in the corporate learning industry. Before founding her company, Seven Learning, she was head of research and development for the Forum Corporation, a global leadership development firm. She is the author of The Greats on Leadership, Classic Wisdom for Modern Managers, co-author of Strategic Speed, Mobilize People, Accelerate Execution, and has published widely on leadership, strategy execution, and workplace learning. Her clients have included companies such as Microsoft, Disney, and Unilever. Her next book, coming in spring 2019, is The Art of Quiet Influence, Eastern Wisdom and Mindfulness for Everyday Work, which sounds so interesting. Known as an exceptional leader herself, Jocelyn is the recipient of awards for excellence in management and product innovation. She holds an MA in philosophy and is currently working on a master's in Eastern Classics at St. John's College in Santa Fe. Welcome, Jocelyn.
Hi, Claudette. Great to be with you.
Yeah, great to be with you. I'm really looking forward to our conversation and learning more about your book. So I know we met when you spoke at a conference in Santa Fe last fall and did a really interesting talk on your book. And so with the greats on leadership, I've been really curious. It's such an interesting perspective on leadership. What really prompted you to dig into it?
Yeah. So this was a long story, actually, or a long story in the making. So as you mentioned a minute ago, I was for many, many years an employee of a company called the Forum Corporation. They're now known as Achieve Forum, and they do leadership development. And I actually spent 23 and a half years there. So it was, most of my career was spent with that company doing leadership training, basically, for large companies. So I learned a lot about sort of the whole world of leadership and how to teach people to be better leaders, because that was the whole focus of the company. And I worked my way up over the years and decades to become the head of R&D there. So doing research and developing training programs in this whole field of leadership. So that was sort of one thing that was going on. But then at the same time, I was married to, and am still married to, this guy who teaches at a college called St. John's, which is a liberal arts college with two campuses, one in Santa Fe, one in Annapolis, Maryland. And St. John's has this very interesting and different kind of approach to undergraduate and graduate education. So they're a liberal arts college, but they're also a great books college. And they're actually the original, the very first great books college. And what that means is that they teach everything via classic authors. So you arrive in your freshman year, and the first thing you're doing is you're in a seminar where you're doing the Greeks. You know, you're doing Plato and Aristotle. And at the same time, you're in a math tutorial, but you're doing Euclid.
Mm.
So you start with, you know, the ancient thinkers, and you're doing, you're studying the literature, the history, the math, the science. So there's a whole series of science labs where you're like recreating the experiments of great scientists through the ages. So it's a unique way of educating people. So the whole time that I was working in leadership development, I was watching my husband teach at this college and thinking that would be a great way to teach leadership or to, you know, help leaders learn. So end of the story here is that when I finally left Forum, which was in 2013, to strike out on my own, I had this idea that I could sort of bring together this classical education format with leadership development and, you know, really try to not only consult, but also, you know, write a book about
right.
you know, how leaders could learn to be better leaders by immersing themselves in these classic authors.
Thanks for sharing that story. I mean, what a fascinating perspective. I can imagine being, you know, working in leadership for so many years in so many companies, and then also, you know, learning about this great books approach, right, through your husband's teaching mm-hmm. as a professor. Yeah, mm-hmm. right. And it seems to me it's people, yeah. there's a lot of like learning how to think in that approach, right? Learning
exactly,
how to think.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, learning how to think and learning what I talk about in the book, in The Great Sun Leadership, is that leadership is a form of practical wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about bringing together that sort of the practical, the art, if you will, of leadership with the wisdom. So, you know, it's not just, reading these books and talking about them, but it's also, you know, kind of figuring out how to apply that wisdom, you know, that wisdom of the ages, if you will, to apply it in your everyday work. So it's practical wisdom.
And absolutely. And so you already knew a lot about leadership from all of your years of teaching, right, and consulting. So what did mm-hmm. you learn about leadership differently after you wrote the book?
So many things. I guess I'd say that the main thing I learned is that when you take a classical perspective, when you're really I kind of feel like we moderns today need to kind of get over ourselves a little bit in terms of our scientific understanding mm-hmm. of everything. You know, we're very, you know, kind of the Harvard Business Review, not that, I mean, I love Harvard Business Review, but they're very focused on the, you know, the research and the science.
Right.
And at Forum, where I was for many, many years, I was head of R&D doing research. We were very proud of our rigor in, you know, the kind of research that we did and the rigor behind that research into, you know, what makes a high performing leader. But what I found in really immersing myself in these books and these masterminds of history is that, you know, none of this is new. Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, you know, we think today, well, we're coming up with these radically new ideas. We're not. We're really just kind of scratching the surface and maybe, you know, bringing up a few of these ideas that people have been talking about for centuries.
Mm.
And really, you know, the people who I look at in my book, everybody from Shakespeare to Winston Churchill to Machiavelli to Jane Austen, you know, these great thinkers, they really were and still are the real leadership gurus because they've got that depth of wisdom. So I can't really summarize in, you know, in a quick sentence mm-hmm. what's different about what they have to say. But what I will say is that what they have to say, I think, is much more just deeper, more flexible, more, not just sort of, you know, well, here's your few, here's the 10 tips, you know, here's the 10 mm-hmm. ways to be a great leader. It's just when you can read these stories and these just the, you know, the stories and the analogies and the wisdom that they bring out about what it means to be a great leader, what it means to be a great human being, is just so much more to me inspiring and you know, wise than anything we have today.
Mm. Wow. Thanks for sharing that with us. What an interesting perspective to think about. Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. all this information that we think is so new and innovative has been around for literally hundreds, if not thousands of years. Yeah, that's a really, really interesting jumping off point. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll dive back in. You're listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley. And stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Don't you wish you had more joy in your life? Check out the new book by Robert Max Schoenfeld, For the Love of Joy, a 30-day adventure for creating joy in your life, because you deserve more joy, more love, more health, more abundance, and more life. Available now on Amazon. Get your copy today. Visit theartofpowerfulliving.com. That's theartofpowerfulliving.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days, because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
If you have been struggling with fear and anxiety, you know how debilitating these emotions can be. You constantly doubt yourself. You can't make decisions and feel more and more insecure and stuck. Dr. Friedman Schaub's book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, will provide you with the insights and tools to break through these challenges. Through a step-by-step process, Dr. Schaub explains how to resolve the subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety and build a strong foundation of inner peace and confidence. Visit www.thefearandanxietysolution.com and get your copy now.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedman Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley, and for those of you just joining us, my guest today is Jocelyn Davis, who's the author of a really interesting book called The Greats on Leadership, Classic Wisdom for Modern Managers. So Jocelyn, we were just talking about, you were sharing that one aspect of your book that really stands out is that it offers this classical perspective on leadership, and that there's nothing in our modern day, you know, leadership. We're not doing all that much that's new. You were saying we kind of scratched the surface, right, of what people have been doing for a long time. And one thing I was curious about, and we were chatting about on break, was how do you communicate that to business leaders? Like, how do they respond to that message?
Yeah, great question. So it's hard. I will say this is one of my big challenges over the past few years has been to kind of find a way, find different ways to position what I talk about in the book in a way that makes sense to business people today. And what I found does not work is to say, this is a book that focuses on, the masterminds of history and these great classic thinkers and people find that very interesting, and everybody will say, oh, that's so interesting. But in terms of getting people to have me come in and speak or consult with their organizations, I really had to find, better, more clarity about what this is going to do for them. What does this approach, how can this approach help your leaders? And the main thing that I've found that were actually three sort of hooks, if you will, that people really like in the business world are, number one is this idea of leadership not as a matter of one's position, but as a matter of the impact that you have. And this is a sort of a concept that is being talked about a lot in the business world today, that leadership and influence are not a matter of your title. They're a matter of your impact and what with, so-called flatter organizations and with the millennials coming into the workforce more and more who really want to, be leaders right out of the gate, so to speak. That message, which is really embedded throughout my book, leadership is for everyone. Leadership is something that if you learn how to have that kind of influence, to have that kind of positive impact, you can do it from any position, from any role. So that's one kind of hook, if you will, for business people. Mm-hmm. Another one is this this idea of presence versus substance. And this is an interesting idea to some business people, I think, because we've all heard a lot about presence recently.
Yes.
Executive presence. You've got to have presence. And Amy Cuddy has had a wonderful TED talk on this about presence, which is fantastic. So nothing against any of that. But one of the things that's nice about these classic authors and thinkers is that they're about the substance.
Yes.
Not so much on the presence. So I write a lot in the book about, giving examples of leaders who were not charismatic. One in the chapter one, I talk about Moses. And Moses in the book of Exodus, and we think about Moses as the sort of the movie character who's very charismatic, the Ten Commandments and,
and
his big robe, his robe and his staff and everything, and a long beard, and it's all sort of very, Hollywood. But when you actually read the book, the book of Exodus, you find that Moses was a very shy, tongue-tied, uncertain kind of leader. Not at all our idea of, the great charismatic leader, riding on the horse and inspiring everybody. So I write a lot about these, and a lot of the authors that I write about, they have stories about these non-charismatic, shy, introverted leaders, but they had substance. They had actual substance, and that's what really counts.
Absolutely. I'm curious, what this ideal of charisma, right, in terms of leadership, do you have any thoughts on that, like where that came from?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real Western trope, that the charismatic leader, the knight in shining armor, it's often you think about like the movie Braveheart, right? Mel Gibson galloping around on the horse and, shouting freedom, freedom. That's the very typical Western Hollywood idea of the leader that we've all absorbed to some extent. And I think you do see this in, you know, in hiring specs, when people are hiring executives and they say, oh, well, they've got to have executive presence.
Mm.
What does that mean? That really means that they want somebody who's charismatic, who can sort of stand up and make a good, inspiring speech, which mm-hmm. is what I say in my book is that that's great. You know, that's good. Charisma is helpful as long as it's seen as the icing on the cake and not the cake itself.
Right. Not the entire, sum total. Right.
Right. Right. Exactly. So when you look at the leaders who have really made an impact down the ages, you know, the historical figures, you know, Abraham Lincoln is another example, somebody mm-hmm. who made a tremendous impact, positive impact on the world. And he was also, Lincoln was derided as, you know, a poor speaker, funny looking, not confident, not a good orator, believe it or not.
Oh my gosh, right.
You know, now he's known as, you know, one of the greatest orators of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But in his day, he was scorned by a lot of people as this sort of, you know, weird, soft-spoken guy. So it's clear to me that you know, presence or charisma is not enough. It's not even, you know, sometimes it can mask a lot of problems. That, you know, a leader who really is not effective. And I have, you know, a couple of stories about present-day leaders and organizations that were hired for their charisma. And this happens all the time. You know, you hire the CEO that's the star CEO, and then he or she, usually it's a he, drives the company into the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because
mm-hmm.
they don't have the substance, the character, if you will, the leadership character that, you know, that you need to back up the presence.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that with us, because I think it, you know, this is a really big deal in a lot of organizations that I work with. It, you know, is mm-hmm. how do we just, you know, oh, we need someone charismatic. We need someone to inspire us. Well, do we really? You know, maybe we need someone to inspire us through modeling character, right? Helping us understand what's important and what we value and how we can live those values.
Exactly.
Different perspective. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And did you, I know I took us off on a little bit of a tangent, did you have a third hook? You were mentioning that you worked with business leaders, you know, the talking about leadership as impact, presence versus substance.
And another one is, so leadership is impact, present versus substance. And then also just this idea of, leadership as not something that you learn in business school necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So I talk about going from, you know, business school to, or, you know, B school to lead school.
Mm, nice.
One of the things that I notice about business schools these days, and in fact, this is sort of kind of my long-term dream, would be to reinvent the MBA and turn it mm-hmm. into more of a sort of master of leadership arts rather than a master of business administration.
Oh, I like that.
Because what gets taught, thanks.
Yeah.
What gets taught in business schools these days is mostly, you know, they're not leadership skills. We think that what's going on in business schools is they're training people how to be better leaders, but they're really training people in finance, in strategy, in marketing, in business concepts and business skills. And I don't think that many business schools are doing a particularly good job of educating leaders. And it's interesting that there's a new master's that's sort of coming up now, which is the MLA, the Master of Leadership Arts,
mm-hmm.
Which is very, I feel very optimistic about. I'm pleased to see that because I think it shows that people are starting to realize that the MBA graduates, you know, coming out of the top business programs, are not necessarily equipped to lead. You know, it's a different thing than business skills.
it's they're learning more of the technical business skills, right? Finance, strategy, marketing,
right?
Right. All of those things, but they're not really learning how what I would call the beingness of leadership.
Exactly.
Right?
How to be a leader. Yeah.
How
so that's another, and a lot of employers recognize that too today. You know, they hire these MBAs. They're a little disappointed with their leadership ability. So they're looking for, some kind of education or something that will give these MBA grads, more of an education, a real education in leadership.
Absolutely. Yeah. It makes a tremendous difference, right? Because a lot of times, I'm like you've been a consultant for a really long time and I've been an executive coach for a long time. And I'm often going in to help people learn what you're describing right now. Because they may be technically really competent, but they're really not, they don't know how to relate to people necessarily, right? They don't know how to help people grow and develop. They don't know how to lead a vision, right? All things that are required for really exemplary leadership. So, So it makes a tremendous amount of difference.
Right.
So we are going to take a quick break, and you're listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley with Jocelyn Davis, and we will be right back. And when we do, we're going to talk a little bit about what Jocelyn likes to call taking an axe to the corporate ladder, which I'm really fascinated by. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Winning at the game of money. Lynn Brown is now offering Full Spectrum Finance, a progressive 12-month program that will help you to navigate through the mechanics of financial expansion. Finally, a financial planner who looks at the full spectrum of money and abundance. Engage you in the mental, physical, and energetic aspects of finance. This is Full Spectrum Finance. Are you ready to get into it? For more information, go to fullspectrumfinance.com.
Tune in to the hit show Raging Skillet Radio, mouthing off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
What is a brilliant culture and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Best-selling author, spiritual life, and business coach Joe Nunziata brings his higher energy and no-nonsense style to people who are ready to make powerful changes now. Wake up, step up, power up with a shot of Joe. Join Joe the second and fourth Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern for 30 minutes of high energy, no-nonsense, and powerful tools to make powerful changes. Visit joenunz.com. That's joenunz.com.
We'll be right back.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley, and my guest today is Jocelyn Davis. And Jocelyn and I have been talking about her book, The Great Sound Leadership, Classic Wisdom for Modern Managers, and having a really interesting conversation about different ways of looking at leadership and what's really needed in today's world. Jocelyn, would you like to share how listeners can get in touch with you or learn more about your book?
Absolutely. Yeah. So my handle, if you will, on all platforms is Jocelyn R. Davis. So it's JocelynRDavis. And so on Twitter, it's at Jocelyn R. Davis. And my website is JocelynRDavis.com. And my email is JocelynRDavis@gmail.com and so on.
Excellent. Well, that is very efficient. Just across the board, right? Jocelyn R. Davis.
Yep. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Makes it easy. Okay, great. Thank you so much. And information on, I mean, I think if people go to your website, they can find the book if they're interested in ordering it, right? All of that's there?
Oh, yes. Or yeah, or Amazon, okay. Of course.
Or Amazon.
So, yeah, The Great Sound Leadership on Amazon. It's right there.
Okay, great. Good, good. So one thing I was really interested in talking with you about today was, as I mentioned, you know, what you call taking an axe to the corporate ladder. And I know, and I see this too in my end of things, which is more organizational culture, right? This trend toward flat organizations, you know, self-managed organizations, holacracy, right? Really looking at how we design and structure our organizations differently. And you have an interesting perspective about when we look at leadership levels, you know, in your book, you talk about we're still kind of looking at hierarchy, right? Which flies in the face of a flat organization. So, yeah, how? What is your take on this? Like, what do you think is most effective?
Yeah. So the interesting thing here, I think, is the way everybody talks today about flat organizations, and you know, let's not have leadership levels anymore. The irony there is that, or the thing that companies are not seeing, I think, is that when you do away with leadership titles or sort of the traditional hierarchy from, you know, supervisor to first line manager to middle manager to senior manager to executive, you know, that standard hierarchy, just doing away with those titles or those levels does not actually create a flat organization, because human beings, you know, you can say that there's no more levels, but you know, human beings are hierarchical creatures in the sense that we like structure. We tend to look for guidance in areas where we feel uncertain, especially in times of crisis. We always look for, you know, like, where's the person who's going to tell me what to do? Some of us like being in charge and like, you know, being sort of at the top of some kind of ladder. So just doing away with the titles is not going to actually create a flat organization. And in fact, when you look at holacracy, which is this, it turns out, you know, it sounds like it's flat, but in fact, it's a very structured way to organize a company. So you may do away with the traditional hierarchy, but you end up with these, you know, circles and teams and liaisons, and you know, so some structure comes in even when you kick the old structure away. So when I say sort of let's take an axe to the corporate ladder, I say that a little bit tongue in cheek, because when you take an axe to the corporate ladder, another structure springs up in its place. So what I believe and what I talk about in the book is that we need to create a new language and a new framework, if you will, for leadership levels that isn't based on the old kind of military structure, which is based on, you know, how many people you have reporting to you, but rather to be explicit that there are levels of leadership that you can move up as you get more skilled in being a leader. And those levels are based on the impact, the positive impact that you have. So so I have four levels that I propose in the book as a new set of leadership levels. And hang on, I just want to make sure I'm getting these right. So the four levels are, the first one is initiator. So that's somebody who is willing to go first, who's willing to sort of step out in front and, you know, take action, take the lead. Level two is the encourager, and that's somebody who creates hope, who inspires hope or encourages, creates courage in the people around him or her. So that's sort of extending your impact to the people who are around you. And are you somebody who, you know, sort of beats them down, or are you somebody who encourages them, who instills courage and hope in them? And then the third level is the cultivator. And that's somebody who takes this sort of encouragement idea and broadens it out. So there you're focusing on a group, an organization, a team. How can you lift up a whole, not just individuals, but a whole group or a whole team or a whole country, even in some of the examples of leaders I have in the book. So that's the cultivator, because they're cultivating a culture or a group, lifting up a people. And then finally, the topmost most impactful leader is the mainspring. And the mainspring is the leader who is like the mainspring in a watch or a clock. It's that part of the mechanism, the mainspring, that is unseen. You don't see this person doing his or her work. You don't even really notice that they're leading. But without that person, everybody else's efforts come to nothing.
Because they're the glue in a way. They're
the glue. They're the unseen driving force behind what all the rest of us are doing. And, you know, there's a couple wonderful examples that I have in the book. One of my favorites of the mainspring is woman, she was a nurse, and her name was Nurse Bryan. And Peter Drucker, the great management thinker, tells this story about Nurse Bryan. And Nurse Bryan was a nurse in a hospital. She was, as he says, she was not particularly distinguished. She'd never been a supervisor. But whenever a decision about a patient's care came up on her floor, Nurse Bryan would ask, "Are we doing the best we can do to help this patient?" And it turns out that patients on Nurse Bryan's floor did better and recovered faster. And so over the years, the whole hospital, all the other nurses and all the doctors, all the administrators in the hospital came to adopt Nurse Bryan's rule. They called it Nurse Bryan's rule. And so even after she was long gone, everybody was still talking about, well, what about Nurse Bryan's rule? Would this have satisfied Nurse Bryan, this plan of treatment or this decision? What would Nurse Bryan have thought about this? So Nurse Bryan was a mainspring. She was not well known. She was not a, you know, an executive. She didn't have a big title, but she was a mainspring.
What a beautiful story. I love that example.
I know. Right?
Are we doing the best we can for this patient? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so simple.
I was just going to say that it's so simple, and how someone just upholding a standard like that, I'm just going to call it a standard but the standard like that is an incredible leader, right? Because of what she was able, if we look at leadership from the perspective of how are we impacting people and what are the results we are getting, right? She impacted people's lives dramatically and got great results, it sounds like.
Exactly. Yeah. And she, and he said, Peter Drucker says in this example that she had retired 10 years before, but he went into that hospital and was, you know, running a meeting about, you know, how are we going to reorganize something or other? And people were still asking that question, would this have satisfied Nurse Bryan? So she had an enormous impact on that whole institution.
Wow, what a great story. What a great story. And can people, so we have initiator, encourager, cultivator, or mainspring. So can people, is this like a progression 1, 2, 3, 4, or can people kind of bounce between them? How does that work in your framework?
Well, I think it is a progression. That is not to say that, you know, you can't just stick one label on somebody and say, oh, I'm an encourager and that's all I do.
Right.
But it's definitely a ladder that if you want to become a better leader, then what I suggest is that people think in terms of those levels. You know, the first step to be is to be an initiator, is just to be willing to step forward and not just sort of hang back and say, oh, well, I'll just wait and see which way the wind blows, you know, but to be the person who steps out in front. Mm-hmm. But then after that, you also need to start turning your attention to other people and say, well, how can I, you know, here's Mary, my colleague over here. She seems to be struggling with something a little bit. How can I encourage her? How can I help her? How can I coach her? And so on, moving up to ultimately becoming a mainspring. I don't think very many of us can become, you know, I think the true mainspring is pretty rare. Mm-hmm. But what the Nurse Brian story shows is that a mainspring can come from anywhere. You know, again, you don't have to be, you know, the person in the corner office or the person who has a big education or a lot of money or whatever. You know, a mainspring can be anybody.
Mm. Yeah. So that means that any of us at some point in time could find ourselves being a mainspring, right? That reinforces that idea that anybody can be a leader.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. So we are going to take a quick break here. For those of you just joining us, this is Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley, and we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant, Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
The Janice Underwood Show, helping you create the life you want, not the life you tolerate. Tune in each Monday, 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as Janice delves into the life creator system and the next step in your spiritual evolution. Janice Underwood is gifted at helping spiritually minded people shift their mindsets to unleash the creator within. Our souls wish to wake us up. Those of us listening hear the call. Do you? For more information, visit JaniceUnderwood.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
everybody. We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley, and Jocelyn Davis and I have been... Jocelyn, we've just been all over the map on leadership, haven't we? So interesting.
I know.
All these different perspectives.
Yeah.
Perspectives coming from your really interesting book, right, on the Great Gen Leadership. So I know one thing we had wanted to touch base about was something you talk about in the book called character continuums. Can you tell us more about that and why, you know, for listeners, that might be really helpful for them to know about it?
Right. Yeah. So one of the key themes throughout my book is character, this idea of leadership character. And what I say is that character is the muscle that backs up effective execution.
Mm.
You know, everybody's always on about execution these days, and you've got to have, you know, swift execution. In fact, my first book, Strategic Speed, was all about speed of execution.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, said some good stuff there about execution, but what I really didn't talk about there and what I wanted to talk about more in this book is this idea of character, because, you know, you can have great insights and you can make great decisions, but if you don't have the character to sort of, like I say, to act as the muscle to put those decisions and insights into practice, then, you know, nothing's going to happen. So based on all the reading and the research that I did for this book, I came up with 5 character traits of effective leaders. And these aren't, you know, there could be more, there could be, you know, fewer at it, but these are the 5 that I came up with. And they are courage, integrity, resilience, generosity, and concern.
Mm.
And so those are the 5. And then the other point that I make and that I really explore through these different stories and authors is how do you develop those traits? And the key to developing those 5 traits or leadership character, I think, is to understand this concept that this concept of a character continuum, which is a sort of a set of qualities from one side to the other, from a deficiency to an excess. So for example, take courage as the first leadership character trait. You can put courage on a continuum from timidity on the one end, which is a deficiency of courage, to rashness, which is an excess of courage on the other end. So you've got, my courage continuum, if you will, has timidity on the left, and then moving across next, you've got responsibility, which is, you know, which is pretty good, but it's sort of a little bit tepid form of courage.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got courage, which is the mean, that's the center. It's the center of the continuum. And then moving onward to the right, you've got boldness, which is sort of courage, but a little bit maybe overdone sometimes. And then finally, the excess on the far right is rashness. So the idea here, without kind of, you know, getting too complex about it, is just that the character is about finding this center. It's about this sort of, you know, balance or finding the core, finding the mean, so that you're not just seeing courage as like this, I don't know, kind of a static thing. It's more like I picture leaders as standing on a teeter-totter almost. It's like you're balancing in the playground on the seesaw or the teeter-totter.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, in each, the really great leaders who have character as a leader are the ones who can kind of, you know, maybe they lean a little bit to the right sometimes, maybe they, you know, go a little more bold, maybe they lean a little bit to the left sometimes, they get a little more responsible, a little more, you know, cautious. But they're kind of playing that balance, and they always have that very firm sense of the center of what it means to be courageous. And the same is true for the other 4 traits, so integrity, resilience, generosity, concern. It's always a matter of, you know, not going too far off into, you know, the extreme or to you know, leaning too far to the other side.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Well,
oh, it completely makes sense. And I love, I mean, what a great, so I had timidity, I think you said responsibility, courage, boldness, and rashness. And so for us, I was just thinking about, so as a leader, if I'm, you know, looking at, okay, where do I fit on this continuum, right? It really helps people, instead of saying, go be more courageous,
Right.
Or something like that, if I could say, oh, okay, so where would I fit along this? Or does it depend on the situation mm-hmm. I'm in, right? It's a great way for people, right. it sounds like, to assess themselves
right.
and have a deeper yeah. understanding of what we mean by courage. Yeah, I
right.
like that a lot.
Yeah, and I think what's important, most important, is not necessarily, you know, and then doing some very detailed assessment in each case of, you know, what do I need to do here? It's more that mindset that says, number one, character is important. Mm-hmm. It's not just a matter of, you know, me, my own personal values. You know, there is a school of thought today that says, you know, it's all about just kind of getting clear on your personal values. I really think, no, there are examples of great leaders who have shown courage, for example, in difficult situations. And we should be looking to them and saying, you know, how can I be more like that? How can I be more courageous? And then when you look at those great, you know, examples of courageous leaders, what you see is they really were kind of, again, on that teeter-totter, that so in each situation they were, you know, maybe leaning a little to one side, another situation they lean a little to the other side, but they always have that core sense of, you know, what it looks like to be courageous, or what it looks like to have integrity, or what it looks like to be resilient. And they're really always trying to strike that mean, to strike that balance or center in every situation.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's something about that incredible self-awareness,
mm-hmm.
right, about what they're doing and how they impact, and the thoughtfulness that goes into it. So as yeah. we're... Yeah, as we're bringing this, the time has flown by today, as usual, as we're bringing starting to wrap up our conversation here, what's a piece of advice or guidance or insight that you would offer leaders who in, 2018, right, are faced with all sorts of stressful situations, who want to embrace more of what you're talking about in the book?
Yeah.
Just be one, even one idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I go back again, maybe I'm being repetitive here, but
no.
idea of anybody can be a leader, and you want to think of it in terms of the impact that you have. And just a quick example, you know, there's a young friend of mine who was in one of my graduate classes last year, a young woman who she's gone on to get a job at in a restaurant. Restaurant and bar. And is a server there at the restaurant. She, when I came out with my book, she bought the book and she read it, and she sent me a very nice note about it saying, wow, you know, this has really kind of changed my perspective a little bit, because I never would have thought until reading your book, I never would have thought that I am a leader. But she said, you know what, I'm in this restaurant, in this bar and restaurant where I work, I've noticed that people are starting to kind of come to me. My boss and my peers are starting to come to me to ask me questions, and ask me for advice. And I'm being sort of seen as a leader. And she said, but I never would have thought of myself as a leader, because I assumed that, she said, that a leader is somebody with a title. You know, it's the boss, it's the manager. So I love that she was able to kind of shift that mindset a little bit. And that's how I would like to see many more people thinking about leadership as you know, not, oh, I'm not the boss, therefore I'm not a leader, but rather, yes, I am a leader, and I can learn how to be a better one.
Thank you so much. What a great way to wrap up our show. Very inspiring. So thank you so much, Jocelyn, for being here today.
You're welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And for sharing such great information with us. And thank you all for tuning into Cultural Brilliance Radio. Please join us the second and fourth Fridays of the month at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Have a great week, and we'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at claudetterowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.